open. Welcome back to Speaking Millennial. I'm Bill Spadia here with my friends and colleagues, Jessica Nutt, our podcast millennial. You're the only millennial here.
Resident millennial.
Right, comedian Jay Black, and arguably now the two tallest people we've had on any podcast that we've done, Kevin Nealon. Thanks for joining us.
For millennials.
Yeah. Hey, Kirk, what's going on? You walked in, you took a nap?
Listen, I don't know where I am yet, but I'm just happy to be a part of this.
That's how I feel.
We're happy to have you. I didn't know his room had a podcast station.
Yeah, that's why I got this room.
You know, I think every comedian's room should come with one now, since we all have a podcast somewhere.
Does everyone have one?
Well, I mean, I would say probably of comics, 98.5% would probably have one.
Yeah.
And everyone, the format is, I get together with my friends and shoot the shit. And they go, who wouldn't want to listen to this?
Yeah.
I think Kevin and I are currently the only two without them.
No podcast. So is this a first?
Would you be not on our podcast?
I would be honored to not be on your podcast. Thank you so much.
Let me tell you what time not to show up.
So we started this, the idea was to try to figure out millennials.
We've been trying to figure that out for the last couple of weeks.
They're tricky. I mean, you can't get a read on them.
But I think you can't classify them all as in that. You know, they can't label them that, I don't think. That, you know, can't say that they're all kind of ADD or, you know, whatever we said they
lazy,
were.
Lazy, self-centered.
Self-centered.
Yeah, that's it, right? Self-centered, lazy.
Yeah.
Like showing up late, you know, whatever.
Like being late to a podcast with Kevin Nealon. Yeah. Like that.
I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, I want to point
10 minutes, 15 minutes.
I walked in ready to go.
That's true.
Did you know you were going to be late?
Well, I did text you. Honestly, now that we're here to talk about it, I thought we were meeting at 6 and you were leaving 2 hours early.
So you thought you were early?
I mean, until I was halfway there and rereading the text messages.
In the car, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where you should probably do.
Read text messages?
Yeah.
It seems to me that a lot of millennials like to get high.
I think that's true.
Like, I wasn't getting high today.
Yeah. Every day. And they have vapes. They have the vape pens.
They made it easy.
But it's not like it's a fun kind of a planning thing to do tonight. We're gonna get stoned
and have fun.
It's a daily. It's a part of the life. It's like they have it with them.
They have breakfast
and they call it like it's an asthma inhaler. You know, they always have it with them.
Is it legal in California now for recreational
purposes? I don't even know anymore. It seems like it's legal everywhere. Nobody makes a big deal about it.
I don't think, right, so it's like kind of decriminalized everywhere. But
I like in Colorado, it's legalized pot and also no helmet law. That's a great recipe right there.
It's legal in California.
Is it?
You can go out and buy it, I guess.
Medicinally.
But it passed on the ballot, so in a few months it'll be completely legal.
I mean, it's not even a big deal when states pass it anymore because, you know, Colorado and Washington were the first big states, I think, to.
I don't think it's legal in Pennsylvania yet.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
See, nobody even knows anymore.
No one knows.
Even,
they need it.
Even the cop will pull you over.
They need it in Bethlehem, like right here.
The cop will pull you over, and he'll smell the pot, and he'll say to his partner, is pot legal in this thing? I'm not sure.
Should I search him? I don't think I should. I don't know.
Should we just give him a warning or what?
So, Kevin, how was that drive up? You were in Philly last night?
We were in Philadelphia last night, and it was about an hour and a half drive. And for some reason, maybe because I'm not a millennial, I got to pee like every half hour.
Yeah.
And so we had to stop a lot. We were talking earlier about this Russian, I was talking about the Russian driver we had.
We had a driver that didn't seem to enjoy his job much.
We weren't sure your role in this whole thing. With the, maybe we'll get off the highway, find the rest stop.
He was stopping and going. And before we even got out of town, he had a little run-in with another driver who... Did you tell me?
We
heard about
a little road rage. A little road rage.
He threw a can of pop, hit the window.
Yeah, bam. I didn't hear it because I was on my phone.
I watched it, but I played dumb in case the guy wanted to...
A witness to go to court.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you back in Philly in 4 to 6 weeks.
Did you see that guy throw that can? No, I didn't.
Let me ask you.
It was just water.
I'm very curious about this can. Was your driver at fault?
Did you call me Ken?
No, I said I'm very...
The can.
No, the can. I'm
talking
about the can.
Sorry. I didn't know we were going to have to throw
Kirk just
it out.
Woke up.
Yeah. He just woke up.
No, I didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
By the way, Kirk, you will remember from Sewage Joe on Parks and Rec, Kirk Fox.
This is exciting. Yes.
And also, Kirk, and I have to brag about him because he doesn't, has been in quite a few movies. He was in The Patriot. He was in Wyatt Earp. He looks like a good Western guy.
Yeah, he's with that mustache. Yeah. Very like thick a Western. And full.
Yeah. 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 And he also had his own talk show for about a year, Compliments of Dr. Phil.
It was called The Test.
How'd that work out?
Good for a lot of people.
For 150
ended
shows.
A lot of marriages.
That's not bad.
Saved a lot of lives. But I think I came out of it with tinnitus. My ears have been ringing.
That's if you hear a ringing, that's tinnitus in his ear.
What was the premise of The Test?
If I hear it, that's wrong.
Hear it.
That's what I'm saying.
Any dispute I would solve with a lie detector test. So both parties would take a lie detector, and at the end of the show, I would find out who was telling the truth.
Really?
Give them the results. And
any fights?
Lots of fights.
Not bad.
It was like Jerry Springer Light, wasn't it?
It was. Everyone that came on was legit. You know, Jerry and Maury sometimes have some actors and some plants.
Chills,
and they jack it up a little. But most of these people...
But you even had, rides waiting for them to take them to rehab afterwards.
Yeah, that was a lot of shows we try and get them.
See, help people is a good thing.
I like to think I helped a few people. Yeah.
And also, you wouldn't recognize him because he was clean shaven, no mustache. He had a suit on, glasses. He looked respectable, unlike he does
suit,
now.
Suit, huh? Yeah.
But this is, I'm
trained happy, the suit in for the hood.
I'm happier now than I was then.
Yeah.
Well, this is more relaxed.
But I kept the suits. Not that I'll ever
Did
wear
you?
Them.
What was the premise with the, not the premise, but like when, if somebody would say, oh, I'm not on drugs, and you would put them through the lie detector test?
Also, we, you know, drug tests. Anything that could be...
Tested. Why would they come to you in the first place?
It seemed like a lot of them came for a free trip to L.A. and
people
pizza.
Want to be on TV.
Pizza.
Pizza. But a lot of people wanted their children to get help, and they knew that they were on drugs. And
wow.
And who better to take them to than Dr. Kirk Fox?
Dr. Kirk Fox, absolutely no experience on anything.
But like Dr. Phil, and going back to the Western, very thick and full mustache. I think that's probably what like engenders it.
Jay's really fixated on mustache.
I can't grow one.
Phil's son was the executive producer, Jay McGraw, and he also does the doctors. So, but Phil kind of chaperoned the whole thing and made sure.
That's awesome. And when was that on?
2014 to 2015. We did about 150
That's
episodes.
Good run. 150 episodes.
How many people did you fix?
Two. I was one of them. Just my bank account.
Right. That's awesome.
I don't think I'll ever do that again.
Like a daily TV
Anything.
Show.
I don't think I'll do anything. I'm pretty happy just floating.
Is that harder than stand-up?
Nothing's really harder than stand-up.
Yeah.
You know, even a talk show, someone's in your ear.
Yeah.
You can read a teleprompter, and if you have to, you can reshoot it. Stand-up, it's pretty hard.
Live and die right there.
You're right there. No one's helping you. You got to figure it out yourself and just listen.
I think it's hard at first, but then once you've been doing it for 30 or 40 years, it gets pretty easy.
Exactly.
You know why?
Nature now?
Yeah, that's right.
Kevin doesn't seem to have many hiccups.
Where are the best crowds?
Where are the best crowds?
Yeah.
Well, I always liked D.C. and San Francisco.
Played the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, we
huge.
Just played Kennedy Center a couple nights ago. That's
huge.
Great, at the Eisenhower Theater. And let's see, where else? New York is good. Chicago, you know, the big cities.
I've noticed that your fans, because I've opened for you a few times, and your fans tend to be, as someone who has traveled all over the country and performed for the lowest end of people, generally that's where I get to go. Working a lot of your fans...
Bingo.
Yeah, Iowa Bingo, but I'm the opening act for the Bingo. Your fans tend to be smarter, more well-educated. They're dressed, in a not T-shirt. Like, they look like you have good fans.
Well, I'll tell you that one time a club owner said, you have a red wine crowd. We have to order extra red wine for your crowd. Some of the blue-collar acts have more beer and chicken wings they have to order more of.
Right.
Some of the urban acts, Courvoisier. Mine is a red wine crowd, and a lot of times, and I'm proud of this too, the waitresses afterwards, the waitstaff, will come up to me and say, you have such a nice crowd, they're good tippers,
nobody
walks out on the check.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm kind of proud of that.
I one time walked in on a club owner giving the speech to the waitstaff prior to an Urban act, and it was like so funny to watch
Keith
him.
Urban?
Not Keith Urban, but I'm just an Urban act. It was so funny to watch him speak in a way where he was obviously being very racist, but trying to avoid every racist. It's like, this crowd is going to be very urban, so we got to keep an eye on the doors at all times, just for no particular reason, but just keep your eyes focused. And it's just, you know, the tips might not be what you're expecting. I'm just throwing that out there. It's a very fine dance that he was doing.
Sometimes, you know, when you've been doing this as long as we have, you could kind of get a sense of the crowd just by walking in the room and hearing the buzz beforehand and looking at the... I shouldn't do this, but sometimes I get depressed when I see an old audience, and they're younger than me. I go, oh, why are the old people coming to my show? You know, they're younger than me. You know, I remember going to see Crosby, Stills, and Nash once at the Beacon Theater. I just happened to be walking by. They were playing in there, so there's a couple songs left, and they let me go in.
Awesome.
And I saw the whole audience is gray hair and bald and fat. I got, oh, they shouldn't. And then I see Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I go, oh, okay, no, right.
That makes sense.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash was a band from the 70s and
80s. See, I was happy that you were explaining that to the millennial.
Did you know that?
No.
You had no idea that Crosby, Stills, and Nash was a band?
No.
You ever hear of Elvis Presley?
Yes, I've heard of Elvis Presley.
Well, Crosby, Stills, and Nash were the princes, not the kings of comedy. They were the princes.
What makes a millennial? What's the year?
I'd say like 35-ish.
Up to 35?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. I'm born in 1935. That's the year that...
It's disputed.
Yeah.
Because some people, as they get older, they want to still be in that. But no, I'm actually a millennial.
When did they start labeling generations? They started with the greatest generation, I think, from World War II, those guys. And then they thought, how can we really ridicule the generations after that that aren't as great, you know? The, what was
the
it?
Lesser
the X generation, Generation
baby,
X,
Baby Boomers, X.
Millennials.
Now, as a millennial, are you bored right now, honestly?
I mean, my phone is tied up with the podcast, so I can't scroll through Twitter.
See that?
Well, that's the other thing of a millennial.
She looks a little like she doesn't want to be here.
I'm just glad that I didn't get burned too badly for being late.
Fair enough.
Oh, you burn her crowd. With cigarettes?
Yeah. It's a physical burning.
Okay.
By the way, Kevin, I think this is important to know. Jessica thinks I'm the ugliest person alive.
The local comic. That's
she introduced her once as a local comic.
Local comic.
The local comic.
It was a rough moment. It was on our show. So we've got the show Chasing News on Fox TV. So Jay comes on as a guest chaser. It's done TMZ style. So we do the news like Harvey does entertainment. So Jay's on as a guest chaser. Jessica introduces him as local comic. And his face, like you could see the twisting and contorting.
I feel like I'm at least pain. I'm at least a regional comic. At least a regional comic.
The other way you could identify a millennial, aside from the age, is the language. Most sentences start with so or I mean.
Yes.
And Bravo TV, they like a lot. You like the housewives and all this world?
Oh, no. We were talking about that.
You don't like Housewives?
You watch Bravo?
Yeah, I guess I know all the
characters. They watch The Bachelor.
They do.
Yeah.
I do watch all the Bachelor episodes.
Do you watch them on TV or do you watch them on
not on TV. You don't have network television, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you
I watch them on TV. They re-air it over and over and over again, so it's not like you're missing anything.
Yeah. Well, you live with your parents, though, so let me ask you a question. Would you have cable TV if you did not live with your parents?
Depends on who else I'd live with. If I lived alone?
Right.
Let's say you live with a cable guy.
I would not pay for cable. I'd pay for the internet.
I think that's...
And how could you watch The Bachelor on the internet? Is it just aired? Like, you just go to ABC or whatever it is?
ABC.com probably airs it.
Nice. Why are we paying for network television?
And then,
I don't know.
I think everybody's waking up to that same idea at the same time.
We put out our show on YouTube as segments. Because the millennial attention span, it's like, this is long.
Well, again, we can't label.
We've already lost half of them.
That's true.
She's broad gone.
It's a broad brush.
There's only a few.
People's attention span, though, is short these days.
Well, we've been I think we've been kind of, trained to have short attention span because everything is so quick now. Drive-thrus and, you know, whatever, you know, shows that little interstitials, there's nothing really that lasting. You know, people don't want to stick with anything for too long. I think books will only have one page a chapter.
I think we can process things faster, though. I think we're good at problem solving quicker.
See, that's a positive.
That's a positive.
They're smarter. That greatest
how can you problem solve when you are stoned? That's not the solution.
That's the only way they can slow their advanced minds to deal with us regular people. They have to slow it down with chemicals.
They have figured out that it's about a minute is is the attention.
Is that the attention span of millennial?
Yeah.
A minute?
That's why Instagram is a minute. That's why everything is just kind
of... That's the pain you're seeing right now. Jessica wants to be on Instagram, wants to be on Snapchat, wants to be on
Do you
on
think
Twitter,
you're missing out on something?
Yeah, it's like a goldfish, right? You guys are mean.
we don't have any other millennials here to dump on, so
yeah.
We can just find the one that we can actually focus on. So my apologies. I realize looking at my ugly face is too much for you, Jessica. I don't want to put you through the pain of that.
But is the crowd different when they're younger?
Well, like I said, when you walk into a room, you can kind of sense what the crowd's going to be. Like a later show is usually younger.
Yeah.
You know, a little more inebriated. Mm. The earlier crowds tend to be older and not so inebriated.
Mm. Do you change material at all based on time with the crowd, or do you just... Is it
Jay,
just
I never do the same act. It's always different. I'm going off the cuff, baby. I'm off the cuff.
It's an hour straight hour material straight. Every time.
Does the Russian driver make it into the act?
No. No.
So it's just
I don't want to think
that.
About him anymore.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
He's out of our life.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up.
We wanted out of that car pretty bad.
Yeah, we did.
Was it an Uber
We have a
driver?
Surprise for you. He's waiting right out there.
No, you didn't take Uber, right? This is a car service.
Yes,
so
car
even
service.
That is almost antiquated.
That is, yeah. Yeah.
Why not take Uber? Did you change your time to head to Newark?
Well, I took Uber X once, and it turned out to be driven by my ex-wife. I didn't know that. It's a service that's driven by your ex. They don't charge you. They just nag you all the way. Who are you going to see? When
see,
you
now she
back?
Finally laughed because I was quick enough.
Yeah.
Look, she's crazy. Yeah.
She processed it very quickly.
Yeah. Ex-wife. I mean, those are letters. They can handle.
What you want to take, though, is Uber Triple X, because that's a fun ride.
Doesn't matter where you go.
Gross.
That upset you?
No, I'm just thinking because you call your, when you have your daughter Dee Dee, you call her the Uber for Elizabeth.
That's a long stretch to get somewhere.
That was a stretch. Yeah. It was a long journey.
Somebody told me that Lyft was the original car service.
Right, Uber, which she drives.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, my daughter got her license. Like, it was great. She could take us to restaurants, drop us off. Before Uber. It was great. Yeah. Called it Uber.
You
I
said
loved it.
Lyft was the original?
Lyft was the original.
No kidding.
Uber
how did they screw it?
Apparently, Uber took, from what I heard, took their idea, and they monopolized it. I guess somehow, but yeah. But more people are taking Lyft now, I think. Because,
really?
Yeah.
Well, they're mad at Uber for first off, I guess Trump, the whole Trump thing, because the president of Uber went and met with Trump, and the Lyft was using that to get millennials to.
The problem with Lyft is you have to tip. Not that I don't mind tipping, but Uber makes it so easy. I don't want to do that.
Well, I heard people are now even having to tip Uber.
Really?
It's accepted.
Is it?
Yeah. I heard you have to tip the waiters in restaurants now as well.
No, that's
has that started? Has that started? Yeah,
is that back?
Some people are doing that.
We pushed that out already.
Yeah.
I've heard of people who tip the gas station guys in Jersey because, you know, they pump the gas for you.
Really?
And I've never done that. I'm living in Jersey. Have you ever tipped?
No.
I've never heard of anyone doing that before.
I hear at Thai massage parlors, you're supposed to give them an extra 50.
Okay.
Is that true?
Yes. Well, first off, I always check to see if they're in this country legally or not. Because if they're not, I'm not paying. I guess, immigration at the end.
You're very strict on that.
That's the tips. Yeah. Stay far away from immigration.
I will tell you, though, that the comedy crowds now, in general, are full. They're lined up around the block for all the comedy clubs in Los Angeles.
Wow.
But there was a period of time there weren't. They were kind of empty. And I don't know what it is. Now, maybe it's social media.
Crowds
yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're young people, you know. They're not younger, but they're in their late 20s and 30s.
They
and
say
40s.
That podcasts are also helping.
Driving
people there. That a lot of podcasts are huge. And these people want to come out and see their comedians. So
yeah.
That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, too, if you live in a world where everything is available digitally, you can just get anything whenever you want it. Like the live experience, they say that, you know, music, you're not going to make money selling albums anymore, but you're going to make money for people coming out to your show. And I always thought, before I started doing stand-up, sitting in the crowd of a stand-up show before it starts, there's very few things more electric than that because of the possibility of failure. There's no possibility of failure seeing crowds would be still as an action. I mean, I'm sure that they could come out and not play properly, but you'd still be able to sing along unless they really screwed it up. Comedy, there's still that without a net feeling that you don't get really anywhere else. So it just might be, where else can we go to get that feeling anymore?
Well, I will tell you that a lot of these singers that are kind of getting old now, like Paul Simon and Paul McCartney or whoever, you know, I think they encourage more sing-alongs now to kind of cover up
their voice. It helps. It helps. Yeah. I would think so.
You guys take it from here.
Yeah, I went to see Meatloaf out.
You see a lot of this where they're pointing the mic at the
Hey!
Oh, my turn?
You know, I used to wait in line with the people at the comedy club when I was, like, headlining there.
Really?
Before I was, like, known. And I'd get into the back of the line, and I'd say, who's playing tonight? And they'd kind of look at me and go, well, you don't know. It's kind of a comedy show.
Some guy.
Yeah, some guy.
That's bad. I asked people after the show what they thought of it. You? I have no idea.
That's the other thing. I would never go into the restroom afterwards at the club because I wouldn't want to accidentally hear people say, oh, that guy sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Bring you right down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to make sure when you walk in there, hey, it's me, Kevin Nealon.
Yeah, I'm in here.
Take his key. Just let
say something
know.
Nice. Yes. Is this still a rush?
I was telling Kevin the other day that after a good show, I'll linger out into the masses. Like if a pilot has a good flight.
Yeah.
He'll stand outside. He'll stand outside. But if there's turbulence, he's not coming out.
He's bailing out.
Yeah. If I'm out in the bar, you know I feel good about my set. But if it's shit, I'll just.
If you feel, do you ever feel great and they just don't laugh when you want them to?
That's never happened to me.
You feel great, but then
yeah, like you're like, I delivered that. It was perfect. Time was perfect. Sounded great. It's awesome.
Oh yeah. I have a few jokes. React. I have a few jokes where I never know if they're going to get it or not.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And that's a pretty good indicator of what the audience is like.
Where they're at mentally.
Yeah. Okay. Although sometimes you forget a setup. And you do the punchline, you go, I wonder why they're not. Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found over, if I do three shows or more in a night, that third show is just going to be, did I do this one?
I know it.
Did you?
Third show's rough.
It's not that it's rough so much as that's where I start getting confused about. Like, two shows, I can do the material just straight through.
It's that third one. Show. Did I do that joke already?
Yeah.
One of my pet peeves is when a comic, and you know, it's just my thing. It doesn't mean it's wrong or right. But when a comic says, I just thought of that joke, or I think you like this next joke. For me, they're all jokes, but don't tell the audience they're jokes. Tell them, you know, it's just you're being funny, and you're creating this as you're going along. It's not a joke.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Right. Take it through. Every once in a while, I'll do an improv, and I know it's an improv. They don't know it's an improv, but they should probably know it's an improv. And they'll only give me, like, a little bit. And I'm like, no, I just thought of that. You got to give me more. That was off
the top of my head. But they never believe you.
No, they don't. You know how crazy it is, the audience? I was in San Francisco once at a comedy club there, and I was about 10 minutes near the end of my act, and the audience looked at the other end of the stage. It was a big stage, and they started, like, a lot of talk and a lot of, like, you know, concern. And I looked over there and a big rat was running across the back of the
stage. No kidding.
Yeah, all the way across the stage behind me. And then people are eating and watching this. You know? And the rat disappeared behind the curtain into the kitchen. And I kind of joked about it for a little bit. And because you can't just ignore that.
Yeah, you can't. Absolutely.
And so all of a sudden the rat came back out again. And it's like this time twice as fast. And it ran down the stairs into the audience. And people were getting, you can see where the rat was. People were getting up on their tables and screaming and stuff. And people thought that the rat was part of my act. But I brought the rat. It was part of my act.
Oh, that's great.
Because it was kind of, it looked like a pedigree rat. It was like light brown with a little white patch under the thing. You know, it looked clean and like a pet. But no, they
and
thought
had
I brought
a little microphone around.
Yeah.
Hey,
wait,
Stack on a podcast. He's got a podcast.
My opener. Say cheese.
Oh, man. I was going to ask you, what's the next big thing?
Well, I'm on a show called Man with a Plan right now with Matt LeBlanc from Friends.
Cool.
I hear the millennials watch the reruns of Friends.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How you doing? So it's fun working with him, and it's a good show where he got picked up for a second season. That's on CBS, 8:30 Monday nights.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's the big thing, and I wrote a screenplay with my wife that's really funny that we hope to get financing for. And so those are my two big things. And the other big thing for me is staying home. Staying home more.
Yeah.
Watch my kid grow up.
Yeah, I stay
he's,
home.
He's 30, but he's never grown up.
He's a child.
Kirk, what do you got? What's going on?
Kirk has no kids. I married Kirk a couple months ago. I officiated his wedding because I did a few things for the Ellen show, field pieces, and one of them was at the Little White Wedding Chapel in Vegas. They wanted me to marry some people, so they got me ordained on the internet for $50.
$50.
And I told Kirk this. He goes, well, I'm thinking to getting married in a couple of months. Would you mind officiating my wedding?
If he hadn't done it, I wouldn't have done it. But I'm still wondering if the paperwork is official.
Well, I went online to check to see if it was all. I think it is.
It doesn't matter either way. No. I'm okay with it.
Well, I want to ring you either
way. Right? Yeah, no, right. How's that going? How's that honeymoon? Still the honeymoon period. Is that it?
Honeymoon's coming up. We'll see if that happens.
Well, congratulations on the wedding.
But it was a fun, it was a 9-minute ceremony, and we made it really funny, and people had a great time. I had my last marriage; it was like an hour and a half ceremony at a church, a Catholic mass, and I'm like a guy in the program, AA. I'm going to find all those people. And I'm apologizing, putting them through that. And I start with my Jewish friends.
The ceremony would have been longer, but a little rat just came out. Yeah, it was her beagle.
Exactly. But that was fun, Mary and Kirk. It was fun, you know.
It was a good day.
Putting somebody
That's a good day, right?
I looked at it as a party for everybody, and I'm glad it happened, and I haven't thought about it since.
Let's just hope and pray the wife does not know about this podcast.
She understands how I feel about it.
I'm thinking you've said this to her.
Of course.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Why wouldn't Kirk's I? An honest guy. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, he's got a lie detector in the house, so he can't not be honest, I guess. Is that a subscription to radical honesty? Is that the idea? Is it like just I'm going to say what's on my mind no matter what?
No matter what. It's just the way it is. I'm excited about it. It'll be fun. I'm sure things will change when there's a child.
Is there some certification that goes with using a lie detector?
No.
No? Just plug it in?
You just need to know how to plug it in.
That's why they're not really used in court.
But can you buy it at Walmart?
Yeah, you can get a lie detector.
You know, we were talking earlier about comedy now and how it's kind of become confessional comedy.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Where a lot of comics are just talking about, you know, you call it shock comedy if you want, but it's all confessional about, you know, what they do behind closed doors and how politically incorrect they are. And that just seems to be the trend now.
Yeah.
Well, you were saying that Chris Rock admitted to four extra, I mean, we're not talking out of,
right.
You know, he spoke, he said,
part of the special, yeah.
He talks about cheating on his wife, like, a lot.
Yeah, he said,
in his act.
Yeah.
How so she should have been happy that it wasn't more.
Yeah, you have four affairs.
Right.
Could have been 400 if you wanted to. No.
I mean, there is a point there.
Well, how'd that go over? Did she stay with him?
No, they divorced.
Okay. But that was after the joke. I mean, before the joke, they got divorced.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, that, don't you notice that seems to be the...
Yeah, I think Louis C.K. probably is... I mean, like, I think...
Well, Richard Pryor, I think, was the first one.
That's a very good point. Yeah, he spoke very honestly.
But yeah, Louis C.K. does that a lot. And a lot of the you know, comics in their 20s and 30s seem to do that.
Yeah.
You know,
is that because of reality TV? People need that?
Maybe it is. I never thought about that, Bill. But maybe it's because of reality TV, or maybe it's because maybe everything else has been done.
I think that's it. I think every joke is you've heard.
Yeah.
So if you can personalize it and make it unique, then you at least have a chance.
Very good point.
Yeah.
I just do the arms routine. Just my last 20 minutes is just all vaudeville stuff. I'm trying to bring it back.
I was big in the 30s.
What is that?
The 30s, it was a decade.
He's talking about back in the 1900s.
Jessica, you took a bit of a beating today.
Yeah, no.
You seem stronger for it.
I was expecting this.
It makes you stronger,
yeah,
right?
She seems smarter than most of her peers.
It appears that way.
In this room.
Oh, see? See that? Boom, the hits come.
That's a compliment, though, because she called us a peer.
That's a good point.
She went British peer.
Oh.
All right, Kevin, Kirk, thank you for joining us for Speaking Millennial.
Hey.
I think we've solved a lot of problems tonight.
I was happy to be here for a moment.
Yeah, you woke up from the nap, boom. On air. That's it.
And guys, I just want to say thank you so much. I know I bothered you with this, but I thank you.
I like the fact that it was kind of quick.
Yeah. That wasn't bad.
Some of these go a long time.
Well, again, speaking millennial, you can't go too far. Our fastest one was 14 minutes. But that was only because we got kicked out of the basement room we were recording in.
Oh, my God.
So this was good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Guys.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome.
All right. Cool. Thank you so much.
Not at all, man. It was easy. I didn't even know we were recording.
Were we?
I don't know. No, we're going to actually have to do that all
Oh, yeah. Can we do that again?
Can you
I thought that